Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish. My name is Father Robert J. Carr, and I am the administrator of St. Anthony Parish here in Allston, Massachusetts, and I welcome you, as always, to our broadcast right here on WROL 950 AM 100.3 FM. And we are here every single Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, yesterday I was talking to you about orthodoxy, and of the term orthodox. Orthodox Christianity is a form of Christianity that you find that developed over the years, but there was the great schism happened in 1054 AD. That's not what I'm talking about at all. That is the noun orthodoxy. What I want to talk to you is the adjective orthodox, as in orthodox teaching. And we were talking yesterday about being careful of using the term orthodox to find an answer to something that might be, say, for example, I were to say something and you were wanted to know if it was orthodox teaching. And I said, be careful of that. First of all, yes, you should know. And yes, it's important to know. And personally, I believe that if I were to give teaching that is not orthodox, which means right teaching, then you have a duty to tell me. But be careful of something being superficial. So what happens is someone will say, well, is something orthodox teaching? And they'll go to some source that'll give them a superficial answer, but you want to know the profound answer, because Catholic teaching is profound. Okay, so you've got orthodox teaching and you want to know the more profound answer. You don't want to know go to some resource that's going to give you a superficial answer. And the example I gave, if you remember yesterday, was the case of eating meat on Fridays. It is basically a church rule that Catholics should refrain from eating meat on Fridays. In the United States, bishops give a dispensation to Catholics except for Fridays and Lent and say, but you should do some other action. Now, what is the reason for not eating meat on Fridays? The reason for not eating meat on Fridays is an act of penance. And the reasons why the bishops gave a dispensation for it is it's easy not to eat meat on Friday here in the United States. Just easy to do. You can go get a can of tuna fish. You can go to a pizzeria and go grab a cheese pizza, whatever the case may be. So they wanted people to find something that was a little bit more of a sacrifice. Whatever the case may be, but what happened is the rule went to the side except for on Fridays during Lent. When it becomes superficial is when someone says, well, it's the church rule, you shouldn't eat meat on Friday. So, especially during Lent. So the bishop's saying you shouldn't eat meat on Friday, and if I teach that, then even though I'm following what the bishops say, I'm also bordering on unorthodox teaching, and you only want orthodox teaching. Okay, fine, understandable. But the orthodox teaching is not, the rule is you should not eat on Friday. The orthodox teaching is it's an act of penance. And that's my point. The act of penance, which we're called to do because it's almost a prayer seeking a change of heart. It's almost a prayer for others. It's offering ourselves up, is a deeper answer than simply that's the rule. And that's what you want to be careful of. You want to know orthodox teaching that is true to Catholic teaching, which is profound. So Catholic teaching is profound. It's really deep, and that's what we want to get into. So your greatest source of orthodox teaching is the Catholic Catechism. Now, by the way, it's kind of interesting, and this came out of Bishop Athanasius Schneider. Bishop Athanasius Schneider points out that we have the Vatican II teaching, the Vatican II Catechism. Well, yes, and that is orthodox teaching. But it doesn't supplant any other catechism from the previous council. So the Council of Trent Catechism is just as valid as the Vatican II Catechism. because they almost supplement each other. So when you want to look at it from that perspective, you need to understand that just because you have the Vatican II Catechism doesn't mean it supplants or replaces the Council of Trent Catechism. It only means it's an additional resource, that they each, for each of them, they're an additional resource. So if you want to know what Orthodox teaching is, then you need to go someplace that isn't going to give you a superficial answer. It happens to be one of the reasons why, by the way, I absolutely do not like a lot of question and answer shows or question and answer resources, except for the UCAT. The UCAT's pretty good. But a lot of these question and answer resources, because they give you more a superficial answer and you want the more profound answer. And that's the difference between when someone says, well, is this Orthodox? Well, yes. But you want to know it, the true answer, not some superficial answer. And we're going to talk about more about that just a second on the other side of the break. In the meantime, you're listening to the voice of St. Anthony Parish here on WROL 950 AM 100.3 FM. You've decided to return to your faith and to start to go back to church. Then everything seems to go wrong. It's almost as if the Lord is making it harder for you. You're discouraged. Have you read Sirach chapter 2? Yes, Sirach chapter 2 has one of the most powerful words of encouragement.
When you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials.
It reminds you that your difficulties are how God is purifying you.
For in fire, gold is tested. In the chosen, in the crucible of humiliation.
So the next time you feel the whole world is working against you, check out Sirach chapter 2.
In the Old Testament.
We're back from our break, and we're talking about Orthodox teaching and coming to know what true Orthodox teaching is. So, for example, I was doing my research. Now, when I research a homily, I explained last week that I have a set software, which I recommend to anyone who's really serious about knowing what Catholic teaching is. I use Verbum. Now, non-Catholic Christians know it as Logos. Same company. It just for Catholics, they brand it as Verbum. So here I am. I'm listening. I'm using Verbum. And I'm researching, I think it was Jeremiah. And somehow I keep coming back to these references on Jeremiah in the teaching on hell in the New Testament, and not in the New Testament, in the Catechism. And it brings an interesting thing here because, you know, there are a lot of people that reject their faith, even Catholics, because of the teaching on hell. Bertrand Russell himself said that that was one of the main reasons he was not a Christian, because of the teaching on hell that Jesus believed in. And there were others that would, or Jesus taught, there were others that always tried to change the teaching on hell, so to speak, so that it can be more palatable for people like Bertrand Russell, for example. Bertrand Russell was an atheist. He was profoundly atheist. I disagree with a lot of what he had to say, obviously, because I believe in God, but he also didn't believe in standards of morality either. So that's where you have an issue, another issue I have with Bertrand Russell, but he absolutely didn't believe in Christianity, and one of the reasons was the teaching on hell. So if you go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and you look at the teaching on hell, people believe that, you know, this person will go to hell or this person will go to hell. We're not supposed to live like that, because we're supposed to do everything we can to lead people to eternal life. That is absolute Catholic teaching. Our role, our mission is, as Jesus says, to be light to the world, to salt of the earth. So we have a mission to lead people into eternal life. Now, one of the things people have said to me over the years, they'll look at me and say, well, I'm going to hell anyway. I says, well, not if I have anything to do with it. My job is to help people understand the bigger truth and to help people lead a life that leads them into eternity, leads them into eternal life. So, There we see the teaching on hell. And one basic line really helps us to understand who goes to hell. Those who die in mortal sin without repenting or accepting God's merciful love. And they are separated from him by their own free choice. That changes us from an understanding that many people have that God is going to cast them into hell because of some infraction, even though they are sorry for committing the infraction. Have I met people who refuse to repent and they reject God and they don't care? Oh, yes. They are very scary people. Not necessarily scary in a horror movie type of way, but I've literally dealt with people where you can sense the pride and arrogance and hard-heartedness. You can sense it. You can feel it. It is that bad. And generally, the people who are most afraid to go to hell, well, all the people most afraid to go to hell are not those people, hence the term why they're afraid to go to hell. It's the others who literally will say to you, I really don't care what the church teaches. I don't care what any church. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe is right, and I'm going to do it my way. Comes back to where I think the source of evil begins with people saying, I want my world my way. And they're intensely scary to deal with. They're not scary people. They'll be friendly, wonderful people. But when you get into that, you can literally feel the hard-heartedness. I literally have felt the hard-heartedness. Just you can sense it. It's like you can sense it in your presence. And so that's a whole different concept than an idea that certain people are by default going to hell, which is not a Catholic teaching. Catholic teaching is you literally have to refuse God's grace right to the end. It's called the final impenitence. It's, I want nothing to do with God. I want nothing to do with heaven. I want nothing to do with hell. I know what's right, and I'm going to live my life the way I want to. It's the most extreme form of rugged individualism, which is why if someone says a certain teaching is orthodox, you want to understand it to its deeper level, not the superficial. Have a blessed day. Have you visited CatholicAudioMedia.com? There you can find material to help strengthen your faith and even support this radio program. Web videos on how to read the Bible, music from Father Adriano Zandana, links to column websites, and even the Pauline Bookstore. And even merchandise such as coffee mugs to bring a smile and encouragement during this time. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com.